Yeah, you ripped it off.
Yeah.
I'm not bitter though, no, I'm not bitter. But I wasn't pleased. No, it was one of those things, you put it down and it pops up again because it's a spring. And if you don't get the spring right, it just hangs in. Well, I was doing my head really close. But I was yeah.
What's it want you
to know? Yeah. These people who went to Jim said went to the last trap. She really did say that, because we really did. Has anyone else got a monster trap? No. It was these people in the box school and I really wanted to set a monster trap up. Bit disappointed, but I did. Anyway, that's... They still let us in the house even though we had that. Good to see you, good to be back. And I want to read to you just a few verses from John chapter 2. And what I'm going to say is quite, in a sense, familiar. It's an account of what Jesus did that is well known, and I've spoken on it, around it, about it before. But I feel this morning I've got something I need to share from God for you today. Okay? And it's the first miracle that's recorded done by Jesus, which is water into wine. Okay, John chapter 2, verse 1. It says this: on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana, at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me? What's my problem? My problem is? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of metres. 75 to 100 metres. 115.9 per gallon. Jesus had filled the jars with water, so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out, take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." So many people make the mistake of saying, "You've saved the best till last." But it doesn't say that. It says, "You've saved the best wine." He didn't know where it had come from. "Where did you get that from?" "I've tasted it, and it's the very best. And you've saved the best till now." Now, not putting too fine a point on this, at a wedding, people drink stuff. And after they've had a few, you could drink painkillers or something, but they wouldn't know. But no, you bought the best wine later, and you brought it out now. And what I'd like to talk about this morning is this: the power of the now. Right now. We've got right now. And it is my conviction that God wants to do the best work in your life now. You see, this isn't about Jesus starting a winemaking industry. This isn't Jesus starting an art license. It isn't kind of a call for us to go and work for freshers. Do you remember odd bins?
Yeah.
Too much information. This isn't what it's about. It's about what Jesus did. And I believe it's written there so that we can learn something about what Jesus can do in us and for us and through us. Because he's saying if the best wine was produced now. It's the first recorded miracle of Jesus, okay? And it happened because of a problem. At this wedding, they ran out of wine, and culturally, that was a really big disaster. It's a bit embarrassing these days, I guess. But it was a big problem. They ran out of wine. Have you noticed whenever you have a buffet and people bring stuff, you always overpay for the buffet? There's always stuff at the end. Because the worst thing on earth is if there's none left. Something isn't got it. Well, they messed it up. They didn't have anyone. There was a problem. And so Mary said to these people, go to Jesus and do whatever he tells you. Be obedient to what Jesus says. And the result was a solution for that present situation. So I want to look at what Jesus wants to do in and out, our present situation, regardless of what has been or what is to come. We've all got a history, and I guess we've all got a future. No one knows how long or short that future is. It hasn't come yet, but the past is gone. But what we do have is the now. And now, what we are now, where you are now, who you are now, however, is a result of your past. We are all products of our upbringing, our history, and our past. Our values, our sense of humor, our standards, our likes, our dislikes, what we do, what we don't do, all the rest of it. We're a product of our past. And at the wedding, the wine had run out. They'd obviously drunk it all. That was what had happened in that past. And their situation of having no wine was a result of their past behaviour, because the wine had run out and the past had caught up on them. You know, we are a product of our past lives, our upbringing, decisions and choices. You can't help where you were born or who you were born to. You are who you are. Can I just assure you, though, that no one here is an accident? No one. No one here is here by mistake. I tell you, in God's eyes, you're here by design. You're here because God loves you. We're knit together in your mother's womb. You are valuable because you are a human being made in the image of God. Yeah. He loves you. He's got a purpose for you, whoever you are. Yeah. So there's no accidents, there's no mistakes. But we have had experiences. Bad ones, good ones. We've made choices. Has anyone made any bad choices? I have. And sometimes, depends on what the choice is. There are big choices, and bad, we want bad choices, and there are little bad choices. And the consequences determine by the size of the choice and what it's about. And I'm not here today to bash you down about the choices you've made. Do you know what? It's in the past. It's gone. You can't change it. The Bible says that you cannot put Humpty Dumpty together again. Well, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but it's true, you can't. He's one big omelette. You cannot change the past. Whatever's gone on, whatever complications your relationships have had, and there are so many complicated relationships, that it's like you can't unpick it. It's like Brexit, trying to unpick all the laws that I have for 40 years. It's very difficult. So your past is a result of your... There have been hurts in your past, haven't there? That's made you feel a bit vulnerable sometimes. There have been disappointments. You've been felt rejected. You've made mistakes. Your family life might have been a good one. It might have been a terrible one. There are things about it that were okay, there are things about it that weren't. There are your achievements, your status, your standing, your relationships. You know, it's great when you celebrated Roberto's exam results. You know, I heard about a fellow once who got, he was very, his family were very, very kind of academically motivated. And this person got like 7 or 8 stars or something on 1 billion. And when his dad got the results and saw the 7 or 8 stars, do you know what he said? He said, what went wrong with the baby? In the midst of wonderful success, you're going to feel a failure. Because you didn't get another A star. Maybe if I could have been 7 B's. But that has an effect on you. It makes you feel, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm inadequate. I can't perform. I can't live up to expectations. And that can make you be what you are now in a negative way. Sometimes it can be in a positive way. So I'm just saying, we are all products of our past. You know, Jesus made everyone welcome. Jesus never rejected anyone. The heart of God and the love, His love and grace accepts people as they are. He accepts us all with our baggage. He accepts us all with our failures. He loves and accepts us all as we are. But as we've said so many times before, I don't believe God, having accepted you as you are, wants you to stay as you are. And that's not because He doesn't like you like that. It's because He's got so much more for you and He loves you. Our church seeks to welcome everybody. I'm a bit surprised nobody owned up to talking to Brian last week, because he told me he was made very welcome. So somebody must have talked to him. Unless he had a check with the door at the back. I don't know. No, I'm sure he didn't. But we want to accept people and love people for who they are. Even saying accept people sounds patronising. You know, I don't mean that. But people come here and we don't care about their past. We accept them for who they are. Now, you know, Jesus got into trouble for mixing them wrong, by the way. The woman who washed His feet had, quote, lived a sinful life. She washed His feet, dried His feet with her hair, and even she worshipped Him. And people sneered at this woman, said he knew what she was really, he didn't know what she was really like. But he accepted. Zacchaeus was a corrupt civil servant, and yet he accepted him. Changed his life. The woman of the world had an interest in life. Interesting being the operative word. She was ashamed of her past, but Jesus accepted her. We all have a past. Now, that's everybody. Can I just say, maybe all of you here today, I guess, are believers. You love Jesus, you give your life to Him. You know, the day you came to Jesus, faith created a new path for you. Yet even that journey in our past can sometimes be difficult, hard to comprehend at times. Jim rightly said, you know, when you become a Christian, it doesn't take all your problems away. And there are so many things. Who was alive in 1979? That's when I started. I came out of Bible College and started ministry at Croydon in 1979. Would someone like to shout out their age in 1979?
-2.
And now you're all under 10 stone. How many? 25?
15.
26.
Six.
You were six. Okay. Now, what I'm saying is that's a mark, isn't it? And through that time of Christian ministry, I've got to tell you, it has not always been wonderful. It has not. It's been jolly hard sometimes. I can look back. See disputes, broken relationships. In your life, there are people here, and perhaps churches have really hurt you. Churches are full of people who've been hurt by churches. And when I say churches, I mean people in churches, because they're people, and they're a pain sometimes. We have a past. You know, you can become disillusioned. Do you know people think being disillusioned is a bad thing? I think it's quite good. Who wants to live under an illusion? It's best to be disillusioned and know the truth, because it's the that sets you free. But in all things, this is a wonderful verse. God is at work for your good if you love him, serve him, and call upon him to be your purpose. So I'm just beginning to say, our pasts have had many dodgy and maybe significant moments. Here remembers you too. You've got to get yourself together. You got stuck in a moment. You can't get out of it. Do you know, moments in the past are not things for us to dwell on. They're things for us to learn from and to move on from. Whatever moments have come in your history, good, bad, otherwise, let's not get stuck in them and live in them. See, many churches die because they get stuck in a moment. They get stuck in a way of doing things and all the rest of it. By the grace of God, we always try and know what God wants us to do and how we do it, and things will change because life changes. Because we want to be contemporary in our lives and who we are and what we do for the now. So whatever your history, I believe God's got something better for you. At this wedding, you see, they had brought out the best wine first, they thought, but were now lucky. They got the best stuff that freshers could sell. But then they had Chateau d'Arjouzes at the end, which was the very best of all. You see, having done all you can, perhaps you feel that you haven't had real results. Perhaps you feel you're lucky. Perhaps you feel, oh, I wish it worked out better for me. Well, let me tell you something. The past is gone. You're in the now. And Jesus is interested. God is interested more in where you are now than where you've been. You know, if you've got a teenager who comes in at 3 a.m, you're pretty mad, aren't you? What are you going to say to them? Where have you been? Where have you been? You know, God didn't say that. When Adam and Eve, in their paradise garden, sinned and turned away from God and hid from him, he knew what he'd done. And while they were hiding, he didn't come into the garden and say, where have you been? He said, where are you? Where are you now? And do you know, God really cares about who you are now.
Yeah.
Whatever your past, folks, we're not being more angry. You might have been, you know, often hear Mark mention to me sometimes about some of the interesting past that we used to have.
Yeah.
The odd dodgy thing might have passed your lips. I never did that. Doesn't make me better than him. Sure. Not level ground.
Yeah.
You might have been a criminal. Any criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't matter. It's where you are now. Now. You see. Where are you, God asked? At the wedding, Jesus got involved in the now. Maybe you've had a rough week. Maybe you've let God down this week. Okay? Say sorry. Put it right. Because it's now.
Yeah.
Maybe you're at a horrendous time. Maybe you've let God down a big time. This morning. How many families have a bad Sunday morning and argument before they come to church? Lots of them. It's fine. This is now. This is now. And there are all things that we need to do in the now in order to break the cycle that has been like a shadow over our lives, limiting our expectations. Do you know that fella who got 1B and called a resurrection? Maybe he has all of his life, despite his brilliance up there, had that shadow of failure, but getting a miserable B. Over the ones, I know somebody once who was told by his school teacher, you're never going to achieve anything in your life. Very clever, very able person who had that shadow, that everything he sought to do now had a shadow of what was said in the past. That teacher, that school teacher, should be sacked. Should have been sacked. You don't do that. You see, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. That's the past. But Jesus, because of what he did, you saved the best wine till this morning. Yesterday?
Now.
To you now. We need to capture God's now moments. We need to capture his opportunities. Ephesians 5 tells us to be careful how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Things we live in there even. So let's make the most of every opportunity that God gives us to receive his good stuff now. This wine, as I say, this isn't a story about starting an alcoholism. This is a story about what Jesus can accomplish in you spiritually, emotionally, in every way. That's what I'm talking about. That woman who had that terrible affliction where she couldn't stop hemorrhaging, saw Jesus pass by in the crowd, took the opportunity that was now. And she just reached out and just touch, and she whispered him. And she thought, oh, it's Jesus. She had missed the opportunity. And then she could have said yesterday, Jesus went past here yesterday. But no, she touched him in the now, in faith, and received healing. Don't say it's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, they are ripe. Do you know, God wants to harvest our lives. He wants to give us the best thing. He wants the loved ones. He wants people in this area to come to Jesus. And we can procrastinate. But we need to pray. I don't say we go out and do stupid things and jump ahead of Jesus. But do you know what? There are certain things that we need to do now and not be bound by what's happening in the past. The new wine for you and me is for us right now, if we're willing to take it. It's not something to delay. With his help, let's be where he wants us to be. And the key is this, do whatever he tells you. Do you know? The key to being forgiven and receiving his life is to do what he says. And that is asking him to forgive you the stuff of the past, to give you a new life now, and to establish you for your future.
Yeah.
You can't become good enough to be accepted by God. You don't need to be good enough because he loves you and accepts you with all your rubbish, with all your past, as you are. And he receives you right now. You see, there's always a part for us to play. Being obedient. And although Jesus did the miracle, those fellows had to get the jars and had to fill them with water. And then the toughest one, can you imagine how they also drew straw? Who's going to give this to the boss? This could be P45 after this. Take some of what you put in there, that water, and give it to your God. And watch him drink it. And when he drank it, he spat it out. We could be water for it. No, he didn't. He said, That's a drop of good stuff.
You didn't get that impression, did you? That's
What are you doing? Bringing the best wine out now.
God wants to do a miracle in our lives now.
You see, this was the first of the many miracles that Jesus was to do in the future. And just as where we are now is a product of where we've been and what our past is, with all its good, bad, indifferent, you know what I mean? What we do now establishes what's going to happen and where we're going to go in the future. You see, the grace and the love of God that we can reach out to and receive, the wine He wants to give us, can actually be the start of something far, far greater than you've ever known. I'm convinced of the poor, I'm convinced that my best days are still to come. I do. I wish I knew what I know now when I was 25.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I would have worked at a jolly mess, right? It's fine. No, I wasn't referring to you. That was one of my best days. See? God's got a future for you. You can't actually find God in neutral.
Yeah.
Because we're made to be something. Yeah. We're made to do something. You try driving home in neutral. Give me a push. You might get down to Green Line Lane if you're about to a 7 wall. And you might just get down to the top of Green Line Lane if we can push you out. But you won't get home in neutral. You've got to put yourself in here. You've got to step up the gear so you don't make sure you've got oil and petrol and stuff and brake lights and things like that. You've got to feel for it. You see, Hebrews tells us this, let's throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that's so easily tempted. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Okay? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. He has not only planned for your life and meets you in your life, but He has a purpose in your life. And it goes on. So drink that new wine and have a jolly good time. We'll talk a little bit about future next time I'm here on this spot, next time I speak. But just to finish, let me say that our now is all we have. This is it, folks, right now. You might be looking forward to later. And when you get later, do you know what you're doing? Now. Now is all we've got. Let's thank God for a past. Let's thank God that despite our past, I'm here now.
Yeah.
And by faith, let's look to what His future is. And our now is all we have. It's a result of our past. What we do with that now will determine our future. You know, I remember years and years ago, I got to a place in a meeting where somebody had spoken, and there was a challenge put out about surrendering your life totally to His purposes. This was a long time ago. I don't know where it was, but I've got a very vivid memory of what was going on in here, what was going on in here, what was going on in here. And it was tough. But do you know what? It's what we call a no-brainer. It's either what God wants for you, or it's really worth not going out. And I remember this challenge, and I remember saying to God, Lord, I don't really know what I'm letting myself in for here. I don't know what it's going to cost. But I want to commit my future to you right now. Yeah. And that was a turning point in my life. That was one of those moments that established the root of my life. I'll be honest with you, I'm still stuck in some moments. There are still things that happened to me that affect the way I am now, and not in a good way. There are still insecurities that I've got sometimes. There are still things that lack. There are still things that I want to kind of get rid of. And by the grace of God, He's going to help me to continue to do it. You see, I don't ever think, will you, the people who stand here and speak are kind of all together with the experts and you're just here. We are the functional knowledge here. We've got it sorted. And we're just giving you the crumbs from our table. No, listen, did I say amen? We're all on the ground. All of us were on the ground. I'm as bad as ever. That really is great. We're all the same. You see? So, what am I doing? And I'm grateful for what I've learned. By the grace of God, I'm determined daily in my now to establish a better future than I have before.
You might think you left it a bit late.
Now I am. There's time and there's purpose in my life. Paul said, whatever were gains to me, what were gains to me, I now consider the loss for the sake of Christ. He says, I want to know now. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Forgetting what's behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let that be for a moment. And let's thank God. But today, we're here. Father, I thank you that you do not look down from heaven and fire us according to your preference. Oh, she's better than him. He's better than her. I love that one more than that because I know what I'm asking that person to be. I know how virtuous that other person is. God doesn't do that. He looks at you, whoever you are, and He loves and values you. You might have been through hurts, you might have been through rotten stuff, you might have done some really bad things. You might not. But that is irrelevant, because God loves you for who you are, anyway, and right now he wants you to let go of some of that stuff that's like a shadow over you. He doesn't want you to dwell in the past, he wants you to move on from it. Right now. To establish a better future, to determine a better path than you'd ever known before. Now I'm just thinking that there are things in our lives that we need to just pray and grow. And it's none of my business what they are. That is, look, I'm admitting I've got stuff I need to deal with. If you think I must be difficult to live without, stupid. Because I'm always dealing with stuff. I'm trying to. She's always dealing with me. Actually, I'm always dealing with her as well. We're all the same. Listen. Who right, this is a question, gentlemen, who right now wants to establish their future in a way that